Three, two, one, it's Shazam, the podcast that hopes to make itself obsolete. I'm Krissa. I'm still Krissa because Kayla's not here, and we are live in Chicago. Small but mighty crowd. I like it. We're here with the amazing Alexandra DeVivier. Hello! And Rachel Wax. We are here doing this. Yes, yes. It's amazing. We have someone from New York. We have someone from France. Where in France are you from exactly?
Paris.
So you're fancy French.
Of course.
She's fancy French.
What else?
Well, there's lots of less fancy French. For example, Quebec is less fancy French, which is the one I'm familiar with. I'm just going to be perfectly honest. The Canadian here will apologize for our contributions to the French language.
Okay.
I just want to make sure.
Let's start over again. Let's edit that.
Okay, we'll edit that. I'm so excited to be here for the Women in Magic Week. We did this last year and it went really well. This always sells out here in Chicago because there's a lot of interest for women in magic. And I'm going to start with like a fairly heavy-hitting thing because we've all agreed to be here. But I would love to know, Alexander, we'll ask you first, how do you feel about the concept of a Women in Magic Week? Like, do you think this is, do we still need this? Is this important? Are you here because it's a paycheck, but you're like, secretly, Women in Magic Weeks are stupid, and you're just going to say that here at the lounge because you're very French. What is going to happen? Who knows?
I will answer in French, so nobody will understand me. Ooh, that's better. You know, that's an easy and a tough question as well, because why wouldn't we be considered as just magician? I say we as women, I mean, of course. You know, in French, we say magicien, donc it's magician, and magicienne, it's female magician. And I am sorry to say that, even if I really enjoy and I love speaking English, I love the American culture, I love Americans, but I hate to hear, oh, you're a female magician. Female magician sounds so awkward, I mean, in the French way of speaking. So maybe for you, it's really normal. But do you say, oh, I'm a female doctor? I don't know. It's a real question. Do you know in the everyday life, when you have a lady in any field, do you say, yes, I am a female judge? That's awkward, isn't it?
It is awkward, yeah.
So I prefer to think about us as just magician.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you know, it's the famous Martin Luther King thing. I have a dream. I have a dream that, we just stop calling us female magician, but just magician. We happen to be ladies. That's right. But why do we have to take care of the gender? I have to say that 30 years ago, I have studied magic 31 years ago. Yeah, right. I only knew Lisa Mena. Lisa Mena, which is just amazing.
So great.
Who is amazing. Wait, I'm sorry. And she has inspired me a lot. But she was alone. This is the only one, the only lady magician that I knew. And she has inspired me, even though my father is a magician. But I saw Lisa. She was doing quick change, close-up magic, doing high heels thing, mm-hmm. trick with her feminine skills. I thought it blew me away. So it's really inspiring. So yeah, we need to inspire more women, but we are only magicians. We are sharing the same passion.
Mm-hmm. Do you think that that's part of what like a Women in Magic Week is going to do? Like it adds visibility so more people have access to something like this.
Well, this idea of doing a Women's Week, I think it's great. That's just, and I'm so happy, and it's a privilege, like I say in the show earlier, it's a real privilege to be here with everybody here. But why do we have to stress the point that it's the women, the week of the women? And what about the other weeks?
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Well, other weeks, I will say for the lounge, the other weeks there are always women here. There's always somebody at the table. Every single week.
That's cool.
Whereas this is just like women take over. Yeah, Paige is always here. Yeah. I'm here a lot. There's a lot of us. Jan, I mean, there's some fantastic women who work here.
That's cool.
There's a fantastic representation of women here in Chicago, but this is the week that we take over. Rachel, how do you feel about being here with all ladies? You mostly work in New York in an environment where you don't think you work with almost any other women ever.
I'm the only woman at the show that I do regularly. And yes, I agree that on the one hand, right, it shouldn't be, oh, you're a female magician. Like, nope, just magician. Somebody asked me at a show the other day, they said, is there a word for female magician? And I was like... Just magician is fine, right? Thank you. Yeah. But I do think it's really great that to like have us be highlighted, mm-hmm. sort of, instead of just like, oh, we're just putting all the women in this one week. It is it is still nice to be highlighted. And I've been very impressed by what I've seen. The Chicago Magic Lounge, really, like, there's always women here, and I think that's awesome. But I do think it's nice to have like a highlighted weekend. Yes.
So since that's fantastic. So since we started very serious, I did that so that we could be rewarded. Since we started with such a serious question, we get rewarded because here at the Chicago Magic Lounge, there is a drink called the Shazam, which is named after this exact podcast. And since we are recording a Shazam episode, I think we should get Shazam cocktails.
My goodness. I think we
should get cocktails. So what, again, I'm stuck here with somebody. Oh, yay! Cindy's bringing them to us. This is the Shazam cocktail. Let the ladies have them. Kayla flew out and surprised me a week ago here at the lounge, and I was so surprised. Thank you very much. And we drank 3 of these each. And in our extensive taste test, we discovered they are sweet and salty, which is me and Kayla. And then they're a little spicy as well, which is an Alba thing. So they're kind of all of the ladies that we love. Oh, so nice. Cheers. Voilà. Salut.
Santé.
Santé. Voilà. Cheers.
Santé.
It is all of those things.
It is all those things.
Yeah. Yeah.
We have 2 votes for yes, and the French lady not interested, no?
No, but, you know, I'm not a very big fan of cocktails. I'll drink yours.
Let's get... All right, 2... So, Rachel and I will double fist it. And, salut.
See y'all tomorrow.
All right. So I wanted to get the serious thing out of the way so we could have some cocktails and enjoy ourselves. I think one of the things I really enjoy... We've killed her. We've killed DeVivier with a cocktail.
Oh, yeah.
It lives on the ground now. She's placed it down on the ground. We'll never see it again.
Because I don't want to injure this table. Sorry.
There's a table behind us. You know what? I'm just going to hang on to mine.
This yeah, because if we do something bad and after
you're,
the table...
You're dead on. You're dead on. Voilà. Do you know... Can I talk about the incident that happened here? So this table has had a lot of life fairly recently. I won't say what magician. There was a magician here who was doing a trick, and he cut his hand and bled all over this table.
Oh, my God.
So I've become a little – I mean, I should – you were right. DeVivier is right. We should be more precious about the table. But I have stopped being because I know how much blood is actually in this table. So, yeah. It's you can.
Was this dry clean?
Yes. Sure was.
The podcast listeners can't see me shaking my head. No. There is dry cleaning, and then there's the dry cleaning that happens when you just, like, scratch it off the surface. Like, technically, that's dry cleaning if you just, you know, scratch it off.
It's dry.
It's dry and clean. Which is fantastic. So I think one of the big things that young women in magic talk to me about when I run into conventions is about female archetypes. So who can they look up to? Who can they be inspired by? And what's interesting now is, like, Rachel, you're fairly new in your career. You would agree. Mm-hmm. Where did you get your inspiration from? Or basically, did you take your inspiration from comedy? Did you feel like, you know, you had Lisa Mena?
I had Lisa Mena, but I had before, I had Madonna, I had Meryl Streep, I had...
No! That's a good one.
Yeah, come on, because why do we have to be inspired only by magicians? I mean, Albert Goshman, Michael Weber, Ricky Jay, many, Vito Lupo is a huge inspiration. Jeff McBride, Eugene Berger, many, but also Rembrandt, Renoir... Debussy, I don't know if you can translate the words.
Yep.
Debussy, Renoir.
We'll have a transcript in the website where people can figure out what the hell you're talking
French,
about.
We don't understand. Those are just French names. Steven Spielberg, Schindler List, many things inspired me.
But when you and I got started in magic, there wasn't a lot of women doing magic. I feel like now there are far more women doing magic. So did you, Rachel, feel like there were more women to access, or are you still looking for inspiration outside of magic?
I started magic, like I started learning about 10 years ago. So there was nobody that I had easy access to. I learned originally from my dad, And that was great. And then I moved to New York and I met a wonderful group of magicians, the Magnets, and they were so welcoming and so lovely, but they were still all men. And so there were a lot of like jokes I would make and tricks I would do that I thought would play because I would see them doing it and they were so funny and it played and it just didn't translate. So I struggled a lot with like, oh, when I say a mean joke, it's not as funny.
Mm.
Or if I pick on someone in the audience, it's not as funny. So I ended up pulling a lot of inspiration from comics, like a lot from female comics, even just like little clips here and there and going to comedy clubs and seeing open mics and that kind of thing. But I think it's really important for us to sort of be there for the younger female magicians because it was really hard trying to figure out my footing and my character and like what tricks I should do and what fit my vibe, so to speak, and things that are really funny when my dad says them are not funny when I say them. Like, you know, he's a bald, you know, bigger Jewish man. Like, I'm just not the
same.
That
doesn't translate?
Weird.
What?
You know, my friend Eli, you know, he's so funny and he's so scathing, but it plays really well. And I would say those same jokes and he was like, you're a pretty girl. So it's just a little bit more upsetting when you say those mean things. Mm-hmm. And he was right. I mean, you know, and it's just, it was hard. It was hard to sort of find that footing, but female comics were like really a pathway that I felt comfortable following because I would see what played and what didn't. And watching it, I could be like, oh, that wasn't funny because X or whatever. So that's really where I pulled a lot of my inspiration from. And I learned sort of to pick and choose from magicians that I watched, male magicians, because there are so many amazing magicians and a lot of them are men and it is important to pull inspiration from them, but it's also important to be like, well, maybe that's sort of a dated sexist line and maybe I don't need to go down that path.
Excellent. Bam. Amen, sister. So here's something I'm interested in because Alba and I have been talking about it a lot this week. And this is coming up in the world of comedy as well. This idea that for men, you have like 25 to 40 seconds to let the audience know who you are. But for women, you get 8 seconds. And this is coming from the world of comedy, where basically like audiences with men, like because the primary narrative is a male narrative, we see a lot of movies written about men and about male experience. And so we're better at empathizing with a male narrative, a male story, a story about a guy. So we have a lot more range for nuance. But with women, we have fewer stories being told about women. So we only have like the sexy woman, you know, like basically you can break it down to the Spice Girls. We got the weird one. We got the nice baby one. We got the one who likes dresses, you know, this whole kind of archetype of women. And so how do you handle that? How do you handle coming right? I mean, it helps. I think, DeVivier, it's easier for you because you're French. So you just come out and you go, guys, I'm super French. That's my shtick, you know, and you're gorgeous and very confident. But is there something that you do in your first 8 seconds to really communicate who you are? Is there something in the way you dress or the way you talk?
Of course, you communicate with your outfits. This is clear, 100% clear. I wouldn't dress with a miniskirt and no. This is not my way. But
I feel like you're targeting Rachel right now. You basically described Rachel's outfit.
This is great for others, but it doesn't fit me.
Yeah.
It doesn't fit me, so I can't wear that. And it will be awkward, and I won't feel comfortable. And they will feel that. So if they feel that I am not comfortable, they won't be, and the show is going to be bad. So the first thing I need to show or impose is that I just love what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
It happens to be magic, but it could be something else. So I just dig life. Dig it. And that's why. Your cocktail is great, but too much alcohol.
And I'll take yours. I didn't make it.
It's very alcoholic.
We women, we share a lot. Yeah. It's very...
Yeah, so share mine. I'm already drunk. So yeah, that's...
this is what I wanted. This was my plan all along.
The Shazam cocktail is strong.
Shazam! That's why it has an exclamation mark at the end. Yeah. It does look at the menu. Okay. So anyway, so yes, I think... So you come out... I definitely see that communicated when you work, that you really feel like you're there to have a good time. And I think that's very intoxicating.
Yeah, I hope so. But it took me years to get that. Because I was so scared and frightened of the audience because it's they are impressive. I mean, you know, when you're in front of the audience, you don't know what they are going to say, to react. Are they going to laugh? Are they going to to leave. So yeah, it took me years, but you know, I feel so good now that I just, like I said, dig it, because it's great to just feel good in front of an audience and try to share something with them.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, it doesn't answer your question directly, but for me, it's the answer.
Yeah, I think it's in your subtext. I think
why?
You've got this, you know, every time I see you perform, even at 4F, when I got to see you perform, it was also your first year at 4F this year?
Oh, wait.
Oh, we both did our first year, so we got to perform.
Yes.
Thank you. It was really fun.
Oh, yes.
And it was weird to be one of six women at 4F this year. And when I saw you perform, that was very inspiring to me because you were in front of a room full of very high-profile magic men.
Oh, yeah.
And you were so comfortable. That was the thing I thought that was
outside, but inside.
It was so impressive because I had spent all week having tiny panic attacks and I was just like, well, she can do it. Maybe I'll be okay. I was not okay, but it was fine.
It was good when you performed. It was great. And they loved it.
Well, I think they were very welcoming to both of us.
Oh, we?
I was so amazed at how you walked in front of that room. No lay people, all magicians, all high-profile magicians, and you were so comfortable.
You know what? My dad has a great saying about that, is that magicians are spectators that, in French it's better, les magiciens sont des spectateurs qui s'ignorent, tu vois, tu translate.
They're like senior spectators, so they're like advanced spectators.
Yeah, you know, it's not exactly that. It's that magicians are, before they were spectators, they just have forgotten that.
Oh.
So I just take them like if they are spectators. Because if I'm thinking, oh, that guy has done magic for 60 years, I don't go on stage because it's too much pressure, you know?
You'd rather hide under the table than perform on top of it.
So, you know, I just take them like they are, because they are supposed to be spectators after all. But they have, some have forgotten that. But I don't want to take care of that. They are spectators. And I do what I'm used to, layman and magician. And, you know, they are the same for me. And you should take them like this, otherwise, you quit.
Well, and you and I both saw other people at 4F come out there and do their first performance and do magic for magicians and die a horrible death that stage. And it is so painful to watch beautiful, like if you get invited, you're already really great. But you and I watch people implode on that stage.
Yeah.
And it was like, oh, this is a horrible thing I kind of secretly love. Am I a bad person?
You are mean.
I am so mean.
You are so mean.
It's like a rare, it's like, it's a memento mori. Like there's this like horrible thing I can't stop looking at. Rachel, how do you deal with that? Especially because you're so young. But I think you look even younger than you are. I think when you come out on stage, for me at least, we're two sentences in before we're like, she's legally allowed to be here, right? Is somebody worried about where their daughter is right now? Is we okay? Like,
my
how do you
dad
handle that?
Came because I'm underage.
That's why you have that stamp on your hand.
It's true. Yes.
You're allowed to be
here. So they wouldn't serve me drinks.
Yeah. Oh, shit. The Shazam. Whoops.
It's okay. I'm 25, just to clear the air. I am 25.
Yeah, but you look like 16 easily.
I appreciate that.
Do you?
I feel like
it's
some
not a compliment.
Some people think I look 40 and some people think I look 16.
40?
People are like, you're 38, and I'm like, yeah.
Completely wasted.
I'm like, chills.
They have drunk the Shazam cocktail.
Yes, they definitely had the Shazam cocktail.
With the exclamation mark.
I'm feeling that exclamation mark.
Me too. And I have to host. Anyway.
You're doing great.
No, so
that is interesting that you say that.
How do you deal with that first 8 seconds?
It's, that's hard. But I have a similar answer. When I first started performing, I feel like I dressed very provocatively. Like I would wear really tight dresses and because that's what I had seen as far as women involved in magic.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was like, oh, cool. And this is how I get people to pay attention to me. I was, 16 and I was like, I'm cute and blonde and whatever and I'll wear a upsetting, right?
It's fine. I'll put my face back in the box of sad
faces.
No,
it was very upsetting. Now imagine that at a magic convention. Yeah, but, and my dad was there, but, I feel like I used to dress that way because I felt like, oh, cool, this is how people are going to pay attention to me, and this is what I've seen. Great, done. And then I was performing at a show in New York, A Taste of Magic, and my friend Eli was like, hey, just so you know, you can wear anything you want at the show, whatever you feel comfortable in, but personally, I don't think this really matches your character, how you're dressing. And I was like, okay. And so I started wearing pants. And I started wearing blazers, and it just made me feel so much more powerful in a different way that wasn't just sex.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I like to wear a short skirt. Sometimes I like to wear pants. I like to be in a blazer with strong shoulder pads. I obviously pockets are a big issue because women don't tend to deserve them, you know? So it's, I mean, that's why none of our clothes have them. So, right?
I like that. We don't have pockets because
we don't deserve them.
We should be in the kitchen. Anything I can put in my pockets, I can put on the counter by the stove.
Exactly. I just think it's the government's plan to make us buy more purses, but whatever.
Give me your Shazam back.
Stop drinking. Now, so obviously we have to think about that a little bit more. Like male magicians, just wear a nice suit and you're good to go. Mm-hmm. Great. End of story. But for us, I feel like you're judged so much more quickly on how you look and how your hair looks and your makeup and your nails and your outfit. And it's so much harder to fine tune that. And also to sort of take control of the situation, because that's a big part of the first 8 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
When I do the show at the McKittrick, it's close-up magic, and I sit down at the table, and just because of gender power dynamics, I want to make it very clear that I am in charge.
Mm-hmm.
I am sitting down, I am performing, you are here to watch me. And that can be difficult, A, because I look very young, and B, because I'm a woman. And you're automatically lower status.
Yeah.
Automatically. You sit down at a table of men, you're done.
Well, and also I think it's important to know, like, if you haven't seen the show at the McKittrick, everybody is sort of seated at the same table, and it's like a family table. There's one spot for the magician to perform, and you have one down spotlight. But for the most part, there's no stage.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that one down spotlight, there's nothing really, in my opinion, to communicate that that person has status.
Yes.
And you're following maybe 7 other magicians that night or something crazy, because they refer to it as magic speed dating.
Mm-hmm.
So not only in that situation where, yes, you're very young, yes, you're a woman, but also that environment does not necessarily invite – nothing about the room is communicating status.
Right. At least if you're performing on stage, like, you're on stage. You are physically above other people. They are watching you. But in close-up magic, it can be difficult sometimes to take control of the situation, which is why if you have a male heckler, I think it's really important to have lines ready to go that are not just shutting them down, but are maybe funny, too, mm-hmm. and smart as well, because then – other people go, oh, okay, we're going to watch her now. I did a corporate gig like a few months ago, and I got on stage, and I started, and it was a little weak at the beginning. Like, people were kind of talking, and I hear one guy making jokes in the back. And I just stopped everything, and I was like, who said that? And he raised his hand, and I said, what's your name? And he said, John. And I said, John, I'll tell you what. Since I picked funny over a nose job, how about I take care of the rest of the jokes from now on? And everybody laughed and everyone was like, oh, okay, now we're watching. Yeah, and I just think it's important to like take control of the situation. And it's best if you can do that in the first 8 seconds. It's harder when
you deserve it.
Thank you. Thank you. Rachel was just passed. She had another drink that she certainly does not need.
No. And I'm not old enough for her.
Yes, I'd be happy to help you with that. You know, we women, we need to help each other is what I'm saying. That's fantastic. So here's sort of another angle with the Women of Magic Week, since we have one of these fabulous marketers here at the Chicago Magic Lounge. And Cindy, I think I'm going to call you out, Cindy, because you were on the last episode that we did live in. So people know who you are. Cindy, do you agree that it is easier to market for this week than it would otherwise be if it wasn't like a Women in Magic Week?
So what I will say, it's an easier message because it's a very clean, clear message as to what we are trying to say. It's a complicated message because, oddly, adding the word female or woman in front of any profession is perceived as a negative. And I, being a female myself in a profession and being a professional woman, it's hard for me to hear that. Like, I even had a Facebook Messenger situation recently where, like, they're not women in magic, they're magicians. And I'm like, why are you perceiving the word woman as bad? Let's talk. And I was fixing
Well handled.
Yes. I was fixing for a fight. They backed down immediately. But the reality is that less than 5%, generously 7% of professional magicians are women. the majority of audiences believe that they're going to see a cisgendered hetero white man when they come to see a magic show. 95 to 93% of the time, they are correct. We employ a diverse array of talent here. We don't always call it out every single day because that's exhausting.
Yeah. Yeah. If you were constantly calling out the cultural and gender diversity in this place, that would be the only conversation you'd be having because there's always women here. There's always people of color here at all times.
Right. It's exhausting for everyone and they're going to be like, please stop. Mm-hmm. We just do it because we want the best. We employ the best magicians that we know and have heard of and that we have seen. Ben has done an amazing job.
Woo! Ben Barnes!
Benjamin Barnes.
I think I can say on behalf of myself and Kayla, you have a feminist cookie coming your way at some point. Just saying. They're not edible. They will be pins. Don't eat it. You'll die.
So, what I mean to say is that Ben has done an amazing job of making sure that we have a diverse array of talent and many different points of view on the stage, on the floor, at the bar. We do it every single night, but we have to call it out every once in a while because people don't know. Because people walking in the door, the general public walking in the door, assumes it's a white, heterosexual, cisgendered man on the stage, potentially sawing a woman in half. Like, that's what they think is going to happen. So once a year, we call it out, what we are doing every day of the week. But, and we were on a radio show.
Oh, yeah.
On Sunday.
Weekend. Yeah.
And we were talking about it, and they're like, you are committed to LGBT and diversity and women empowerment. It's like the whole magic community is. It's taken a century to get here, but we are chipping away.
Yeah, very much
so. And we are just a part of the broader view of this. We're just doing it loud and proud.
I will say, as somebody who's keeping track of the numbers, because Kayla and I are doing this project where we're keeping track of the representation of women in magic so we can actually show it in numbers, so we have all of the numbers for all the women booked at all magic venues for all of the world, basically now, and also online things and things like that. Mm-hmm. I can say pretty confidently the lounge is doing quite a bit better than every other place. So I think it's worth saying. It's not just like you're doing okay. Like the representation here is ridiculously off the charts. It's resetting the standard.
Which is 100% due to Benjamin Barnes.
Woo, woo, woo! Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, and he's being really humble, and he won't take the phone.
Yeah, he's hiding.
Me.
This is the most I've ever seen him hide.
He said he was going to protect me from this, and then he won't take it. But it's legitimately, he is keeping his ear to ground on all talent, regardless of who they are. Who is the best? Who is upcoming? Who can we cultivate, and who is already there, and he is booking them. Yeah. So
let's bring it back to the table, because I'm curious to see, like, I know for all of us, all three of us at the table, that right now being part of magic culture is very interesting as women, because we can see this cultural shift happening, and I'm grateful to be here at this time where I can not just be a part of it and benefit from it, which I do, but also I feel like it's still new enough I can influence it. Do you, either of you, feel like you've leaned into it in your marketing, or that it's benefited you in any way to be a woman all of a sudden? Or if, like, it's just you're finally just getting your just desserts because it's been hard up until now. I'll just speak for myself. Personally, I feel like a lot of the success I've had has been because people are like, we really would like somebody who's capable and it'd be helpful if they were a woman. So only now, for the first time in magic, if the choice is between me and an equally talented, maybe more cisgendered, heterosexual gentleman, I'm going to get picked first because I tick a few more boxes and I'm happy and grateful to take those advantages and rub them all over my face. So have you either felt like you're having new advantages, or has that, you know, I know that you have been part of this magic community for a long time. Do you feel like it was harder and now it's easier? Or I'd be interested. Rachel, do you want to go first? Maybe because...
Yeah, I definitely feel that over the past maybe year or so, I have felt the benefits. Now, to be clear, there are still the downsides. I mean,
yeah.
let's not sugarcoat that. But I definitely feel that there have been times where they've gone, well, maybe we want something different other than a white guy.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we want to try something different. However, I will say, I think it's really important, and I certainly feel this, is I never want to be chosen for something, whether to be part of a show or for a gig or whatever, just because mm-hmm. I'm a woman.
You don't want to be the diversity hire.
Right. And I think that's so important. And I think it's really important to have diversity, and I completely agree. I have been, just from what I've seen on Instagram, I mean, I've been blown away by the diversity at the Chicago Magic Lounge. Like, I feel like there's always women here. There's people of color. Really, it's wonderful, but I do think it's important to be like, I don't want that to be my hook.
Mm.
You know, I don't want to
That's not your angle.
Right.
Yeah.
I don't want to be at the McKittrick or at Taste or whatever because I'm a woman.
Yeah.
I want to be there because I'm funny and I'm good, and it's nice for them that I'm a girl too, and they get that diversity. And I think that's really important, but I do think that people are starting to recognize like, oh, there are good women in magic, and we shouldn't just neglect them because they're probably someone's assistant or someone's girlfriend or whatever. And I think that's how I feel. Every magic convention I've been to, they're like, whose girlfriend are you? And I'm like, absolutely. This is fabulous. Yes, no one's, but great.
Like, I sort of feel like I'm everyone's girl. I'm like the girlfriend of magic.
I'm a tally-ho, if you will. But
For those of you listening at home, we just got a one-person standing ovation from a gentleman who was too shy to come into the mic 5 seconds ago. Just got real confident. What about you? How do you feel? Like, do you feel like it's been better or things have changed? I'd love to hear your perspective, especially because you work internationally.
I think that women in magic, I mean, for business, for corporate, for companies and so on, has always been interested in having a lady in magic because they only have magicians doing corporates, gigs, events, special events and so on. So I've always been busy doing corporates. Now that is said, I completely agree with Rachel because I am working at the Double Fond for... Ooh la la, I can't say that to the mic.
4 years only, just a little one. She looks like Rachel, they're both 16.
Yeah. Give me another Shazam. So yeah, I'm working at the Double Fond for quite a few years because I've studied magic 31 years ago and I'm doing my first shows maybe 1995. So I'll let you do the calculation. And if I work at the Double Fond, it's not because I am the daughter of my dad, Dominique Duvivier. It's because I am a good magician. It happens that way. I am the daughter of Dominique and I am a lady. So there is also the percentage like the Chicago Magic Lounge. At the Double Fond, we always had a woman in the Double Fond. So we don't have the other style, but we have Asian magician at the Double Fond. Do you have Asian magician here? Come on!
Sometimes. He moved to Vegas.
Oh. So yeah, right. But I think we didn't consider that. We just considered the magic level.
Mm-hmm.
You're good enough, you can perform at the Double Fond. We don't care about your color of skin or, you're a woman, you're not a woman, you're a man, that's great. But I just want to be considered, like you said, Rachel, like a good magician. And I love that you do the week of women here in the Magic Lounge. I love that women are in the cover on Genie. I love that.
Says a person who was on the cover of Genie. So I'm just
That's it. And I think that's great because we have to promote magic. Female magician, I hate that. Lady in magic. I prefer lady in magic.
Magicians who happen to
see the word female that I just make me think as a French lady, it's like an animal.
Like biological.
It's scientific.
It's clinical. The semantic, the word itself that's woo. It scares me. So yeah, a lady in magic. So yeah, I prefer lady in magic or women. Lady. I'm sorry?
Women?
Women, that's great. Women in magic. Women in magic, that's great.
It's a good thing they named the week that. It's very...
Yeah. Women in magic.
Women.
Female hobo sapiens. Yes.
With the women in magic. Women. Well, this is...
Oh, hey, Lucy.
I know. You guys, Lucy murdered tonight. I just thought I'd just say that out loud. Anyway.
That was your blood.
This is my blood.
That was your blood.
Quiet. You're not supposed to know that.
I'm sorry.
I think I would agree. I think we can all think of someone who is using their diversity as their main hook. And I think we can agree that, you know, and I think we can agree that...
Of course.
Yeah.
You are who you are.
You are who you are. But I feel like there should be something more to it. I mean, no bloke would ever walk out and be like, I'm a guy. That's my shtick. That's the whole bit. Right? Like, you couldn't make a bit out of that. And I think it's the same thing with, you can't just come out and be like, I'm a girl. That's the whole bit. And we've seen performers like that. We've seen these one-dimensional performers. We all have. And I just would love to encourage people to be like, hey, you know, yeah, sure. You can't deny who you really are. Yeah. But then,
And so what?
And so what? And so what? And also... Well, you like bowling? Something. There's got to be something. All right. So I think we're going to open it up to the floor. I'm going to pass my phone around, of which I have one. I'm not going to throw it away. If anyone has a question, just talk into the part of it that has a microphone. Anybody? Anybody?
Why do you have a case for your phone?
Oh, there is a case for my phone. Because they do. And you're bad at looking at things.
Did you look with both of your eyes?
Edit that question. That was
I'm going to edit. No, I'm leaving it in. I want people to know that you can't. Anyway.
Hi.
Hi.
My name is Melvin.
Is it?
No, I'm just kidding. First of all, thanks so much for being here tonight. And give it up to you guys for the latest in magic, okay? Now, with Rachel, I know your dad. He's a cool guy. And then Alexander, your dad is cool. he's amazing.
What a coincidence.
Both of them. But no, seriously. My question is, what is the trick that you remember that you said, that is a trick that got me into magic? What will it be?
Oh, that's good.
What is that one trick that you say, that's what got me hooked into magic. That's why I want to do it. What is that one trick for both of you? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm super excited to hear this. Who wants to go first?
You, Beth, whatever.
I'll go ahead.
Rachel is taking, she's walking up to bat.
I'm walking up to
bat.
She's
going to knock it out of the park.
I said it in my act mostly as a joke and because it fit really well, like comedy timing wise. But really, seeing my dad do rope magic and then... He wasn't teaching it to me one day, but he was showing me how it worked. And that was so mind-blowing to me. And I was so much more impressed by it once I knew how it worked and that it wasn't magnets and it wasn't a gimmick. And I was just like, fuck. I was like, I would be so much cooler if I did magic. And be best friends with my dad.
Oh my God, that's so cute. And incorrect.
It's okay, I ended up pretty, so it's fine.
You're fine, you're fine. Do you remember the first trick you ever saw?
Oh, yeah. It was my dad at a double fond. This is only the feeling, not a trick, not rope trick. It was the feeling of seeing him doing tricks and seeing the reactions of the audience. Wow, I see. That's just a blast. If one day I can feel or make it happen, I would be so happy. And first trick, yes, was the cups and balls. His routine with the fourth cup at the end was just mind-blowing me. And so, yeah, sure, cups and balls. But mostly this feeling of just blowing away hundreds of people. That was the hook.
I love that. Oh, me? Oh, I'm scared to say this because I've kept this a secret.
Not anymore.
I've kept this a secret because it's going to mess up someone's ego. The first bit of magic I had access to was television magic, and I always thought that Copperfield was the first bit of magic I saw, and I always told that as my story because it felt like my truth. It was what I remembered. I remember sitting with my father, and it was just me and him on the couch. It was our special thing. We both had insomnia even as kids, and I'd watch these David Copperfield specials, and at the commercial break, he'd go, "Why do you think they did that?" And I'd go, "Oh, it's," and I'd make up something insane, and he'd go, "Yeah, that's probably how they do it." And I would feel so validated. And then about 3 years ago, I was in Chicago hanging out with Joe Diamond. Yeah. Right before Abbott's. Oh, no, it would have only been 2 years ago because it was Abbott's. And he was like, "Let's do late night magic movies." And he played me Max Maven's Maximum Dimension. And I'm like, "Oh, this is crazy, Max," because Max and I are now friends. And I'm watching it and I'm like, "Ha, ha." And this wave of familiarity, this flashback comes over me. And I remember being a little girl and watching Maximum Dimension because it was a Canadian TV show that none of you probably have ever seen. But it played after school on TV in Canada, and it was great. And it was like science fiction and magic, which is at the heart of my act. And I'm watching this and I'm remembering this moment of seeing this TV show and seeing Max Maven and being like, "That guy looks like he's having a lot of fun and not working very hard." I'm very good at having fun. And I'm not very good at working hard. I bet I could do magic. And so I think Max Maven is maybe why I'm a magician. But let's hope he never listens to this episode. Because he'll tell me that story back to me for the rest of my life. Amazing. I think we have a question in the back.
Thank you all so much for being here tonight. And also at the Magic Lounge. You shared in one of the earlier stories that someone at the magic convention said, "Whose girlfriend are you?" Which is very embarrassing and frustrating. And it's a shame that something like this can happen in this day and age. What can other magicians do to be an ally to get rid of things like this from magic, short and long?
What a great question. Why don't you tell us your name into the microphone so we can give you credit for that fantastic question.
My name is Mert Izzery.
Lovely. Yes, who wants to go first?
You go ahead.
Being a good ally?
That's a great question, but the answer is so tough. No, because it's very tough when you come, you know, when you're a woman in magic, when you are very young, because when I started, I was 15 years old, you are surrounded by only men, and they know that you are the daughter of your dad, of course, but Dominic Duvivier, so, you know, you reach another level, and they say, "Show me a trick. Show me a trick." Wow! What? No, I don't want to show you a trick. I just want to share magic with you, show you a show, not a trick, because I am not interested in a trick or a sleight of hand. Of course, I do use sleight of hand, and I do work. But I have worked hard and harder than the rest of the guys because I was the daughter of Dominic Duvivier. And that's great because it raises the level. And I think that, okay, your question is great. How can you be an ally, okay? But thanks to those guys who didn't make my life easy, it made me fight even more. So I am not sad about that. I thank them. So yeah, right. You can be an ally, but don't change. You know, men can be, I'm sorry for my language in advance. Men can be dicks. But women also can be dicks, you know. So yeah, you know, it was great that I had this experience because this way I am where I am today.
Yeah, I would agree. I think definitely if you're handling women with kid gloves, that is not helping anyone. And I think that's definitely, I'm just trying to reinforce what you're saying. I think that's happening a lot in magic, that we see women come in and we're scared of scaring them off like they're little tiny rabbits. So we're like, "You're great, you're amazing." But if you hear too much positive feedback that isn't true, you don't get good. And I think if you get too much success before you're ready for it, it shuts you down. It basically perma-freezes you. It puts you in an amber of where your show is. Once you get a certain amount of praise, if you're not at a level where you can handle that, I think it just locks your show in. So I completely agree. I think, yes, being a good ally is important, but making sure that you're still being critical of women in a reasonable way so that we're not making them terrible. We're making women terrible right now. It's part of the problem with magic. Rachel,
Let me take you on a word journey.
Oh, this is, I'm just going to... We're turning the mic.
Mic. I'm going to tell you a little story.
We're going to give up for a second.
You're just going to give me a second here. I have a little story to tell that I think is very indicative of the opposite of what you need to do and is very informative of how you should behave as a quote-unquote ally. One of my first magic conventions, I went with my dad, which was great. But aside from my dad, I didn't really know a lot of people there. I was also so starstruck by everybody there whose books I had read, whose DVDs I had watched. I was like so over the moon and so overwhelmed with stuff that I wanted to learn. Every booth in the dealer's room, I was like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, I have to do that. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be amazing. And everyone I saw, I was like, oh, you're really good at this move. Teach me this move. And I just wanted to absorb everything. And I think when you're younger, that's when you're at your prime for absorbing information. But I remember going up to a table of male magicians and saying, hi, I'm kind of new. Is it okay if I do a trick and could I get notes? And I did whatever card routine that had many phases and was very whatever. And I remember just waiting for them to give me notes. And they all just looked at me and went, I don't know, I've never seen a girl do a double lift before. And that was the note that I got. And nothing has ever been less fucking helpful. And I'm not excusing my language. Fuck you. But, you know, and walking into magic conventions and just everyone's trying to sleep with you. And, like, no one wants to talk to you like you're actually a magician. Talk to us like we're colleagues. Mm-hmm. Again, you don't have to baby us. I'm not like a dumb lady. Like, I'm not like, oh, no, it's not a sandwich. What do I do? Like, no. If it's bad, tell me it's bad. I was doing this one. This is very, here. Okay, here's a very story.
Story time with Rachel Wax.
Here's a.
Buckle in.
Buckle up.
Buckle in. Where's your drink?
Oh, they're gone. no, I'm just kidding.
I explained story time.
That would explain story time.
Go. I'm loving this. Go.
I think it's so important to tell women when it's bad. Because no one does. And then you have women doing bad magic. And I would just like to call out an episode of Shazam that I thought was absolutely brilliant and amazing, which is called Why Women and Magic Are Bad. And it was a phenomenal episode. And if you haven't listened to it, you should. But it is about that.
It's actually called Why Women Are Terrible.
Okay, well, excuse me. I was trying to sugarcoat it.
We did not. We were feeling our alba that day.
It was great. But, like, it's just, you know, I was doing this one card to lemon routine for a long time, and I was talking to Jamie Ian Swiss, and he was like, that's bad. He was just like, that's a bad version of a bad routine. And I was like, oh, you're right. But then I looked at it critically, and he was right. And then I redid it, and now it's better. And that's so important, and people don't do that. And that's how you're an ally, is by assuming that someone is at your level of magic, is by not assuming that someone is not as good as you or needs to be coddled. Woo! We're done.
Amen.
I'm done now. Story time is over.
I loved story time. It's my favorite. I'm just going to give you two words. It's easy to remember. Advocacy and empathy are sort of the two ways that we encourage people to be good allies. Advocacy, if you go to a magic convention, there are no women booked. If you go to a venue and there are no women booked, you don't have to be aggressive. Just ask why. Were they not available? Did they ask? Is it something they considered? An advocate is also somebody who is well-versed in which women are capable. There are three sitting in front of you. There's a fabulous one out in the room tonight, Paige Thompson, fantastic magician. Fantastic. We also have another magician who was sassy to me, so I'm not going to call her out. Now, do you want to say your name into the... I don't know. I don't want to, like, call you out as a magician.
Whatever.
Yeah?
Thank you, Shiley.
Shiley is a fantastic magician. She does work in hospitals, I'm correct, yes?
Yeah.
And she's fantastic. We have some amazing women in magic. And so educating yourself as to who is great, who you genuinely like, so when people say, are there women in magic, are they any good, you can name names of people that you've seen live that you can be a good advocate for. And the other thing is empathy. So empathy, I think we don't have a lot of practice being empathetic with people that are necessarily different from us. People in minorities have a lot more practice being empathetic because they don't have as much power. And so empathy is a way that they protect themselves, whereas if you're in a position of authority and power all the time, you don't have as much practice. So finding ways to listen to female narratives and pay attention and see if that you know, instead of making an assumption about what somebody needs or what somebody means, trying to practice strong empathy and see if you can get under and you can kind of figure out what they actually want or what they're actually asking you for, rather than speaking from your own experience, is always valuable. So advocacy and empathy are kind of the two things that we try to focus on. There are lots of other ways to be a good advocate, but if you're looking for two quick answers, these are the answers. Yes, I'm trying to channel you. It's not working. Feminism solved. Great. I think we have time for one more question. Do we want anybody scared of us now? Do we want one? What is happening in the audience? Nothing. Have I forgotten how to speak English? Okay, they're sleeping. Is there one more question? We're good?
This is more of a career one. More broadly, what have you had to sacrifice in order to get to the place where you are today in your career?
Having a dog. What?
Oh, no.
Yeah, Rachel, who wants to go first? Rachel, do you want to go first? You went first last time. What have you had to sacrifice? Anything?
Thank you, Rachel. I sacrificed my shyness.
Oh. Wow. I like that. It's
good. Yeah, and that was very good. Kind of a therapy, but less expensive. Yeah. That's what I sacrifice. I am happier where I am today, and I didn't sacrifice anything. I sacrifice my time because we have worked. But
I feel very targeted.
You said earlier that you didn't work. I was six years old.
I didn't know it was going to be as hard as this. Magic's freaking hard.
My English is so bad. I didn't get it.
Lies. I'm being lied to. Okay.
So for my part, I only sacrificed that.
Wow. Rachel, what did you sacrifice?
It feels a little premature for me to answer that because I'm sort of living a double life right now. I work in fashion full time during the week and then I gig when I can. So I work a job Monday to Friday full time, whatever, 40, 50 hours. And then I work at the McKittrick Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So right now I'm a little bit teetering on the edge of sometimes I have to leave work early to go do a magic thing, or sometimes I can't do a magic thing because there's a meeting at work. I guess what I'll have to sacrifice is to be determined.
Oh, yeah. But yeah. Don't you give, you can give yourself time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just but it's hard to say, yes, I need sleep, but also I like both of my careers. So.
Yeah, I can understand. I think if what you're looking for is sort of some advice as to know what to sacrifice. You know, I'm homeless and just doing magic, so I've sacrificed everything. But I spent some time when Lucy really started taking off. I had to sit down and make some real decisions because I had a very successful entertainment firm in Western Canada, and I had lots of projects going on. And I think if you're really asking this question for real, I think sitting down and making a priority list of what's really genuinely important to you, and then making a separate list of what you actually spend time doing. Because I think what you think your priorities are and then the way you actually spend your time will tell you two different stories. And then you need to decide how far you're willing to push what you're actually doing towards what you want to be doing. And then the sacrifices that need to be made, I think, will become very obvious.
Deep.
I'm sorry.
That was amazing.
I had some shazams.
That was.
They made me wise.
That was very wise.
Thank you.
For anybody in any field, anywhere.
Yeah, I think it'd be really helpful. Thank you very much for your questions. I really appreciate it. I asked the ladies before we got here if they have a quick funny story. Do you have one? We can always edit this out if you don't have it. Did you think of anything? You don't have anything? It's fine. We're gonna.
Something medium funny. Maybe like a year ago, I was performing at A Taste of Magic, and I hadn't been there in a while, so I was kind of nervous. I was hosting the show, and a guy I was seeing at the time was there with his friends, and I had like just started seeing him, so I was super like sweaty and nervous and uncomfortable, and I went out to do my rope trick, and I was so cocky when I got out there. I like yelled at a 13-year-old or something, I don't even know, but I take the ropes out of my pocket, and I'm like, as you all can see, I have one long rope and two medium ropes. And then I was just like, just kidding, this is no longer happening. And I had to like skate on past it. And then I came back out during the next set and did the ropes and got them.
Wow. It's all, we've all been there. Do you have a story you want to share with us?
It's not funny.
Or weird. You have a story. It does not have to be funny.
Ah, good.
But you're an interesting, hilarious lady, so I imagine it will be funny.
No. It's not funny at all. No, it's a nice...
Then why is everyone laughing?
I'm sorry. It's a nice story, but it's not a funny story. I've done shows, a lot of shows at the Double Fond and somewhere else. I'm doing a gig, and in France, in the south of France, okay? And the lady comes to bless you.
Lady came to bless you.
Yeah. And the lady came to me and she said, oh, I know you. Oh, okay, that's great. Yeah, because I went to the Double Fond. I went to see your show. I said, oh, that's great. I'm so happy. And she takes out from her bag. 5 years ago, she came to the Double Fond and I've made up a little doggy from beads, you know, as a gift. And she take it out of her purse and she kept it for 5 years in her purse. Wow. And she says, oh, I keep it in my bag all day long, and I am so happy you are here. I say, oh, well, that's great. So it's not a funny story, but it's, oh, when I saw that doggy coming out from her bag, I said to myself, we are so lucky, the three of us and the rest of us, to give so many emotions to this audience. And as much as she wanted to keep this little plastic doggy, ugly plastic doggy, in her bag every day, I think it's fabulous because we give so many things to those people. And that's precious.
I love that.
That's it's not a funny story.
I thought it was very funny because it had a dog in it.
Yeah, right. That's it.
I just want to say, as a last note, thank you very much for coming. We're very grateful to be part of this. It really is an honor to be here. And just so you know, Rachel Wax does work in fashion. She is currently wearing a t-shirt I designed, which you can buy at shezampod.com. Just a perfect plug. And you can drink yourself totally silly at the Chicago Magic Lounge on the Shazam, or the drink named after my act, which is the Lucy. Thank you so much for joining us on this very special episode of Shazam. And remember, the Chicago Magic Lounge loves the ladies. Let's hear it from our live studio audience! Yay! Thank you so much, Alexander Bivier, to Rachel Wax, for joining us on this special episode of Shazam. Shazam is sponsored in part by the Society of American Magicians. Thank you, SAM. Go join a club. So I always thought, oh, that's good. I'm just going to, nope, there's someone's flirting with me on my computer.
Oh my God, love that.
Shut up.